We shall look at a second example of how test 1 applies, this time taking an employee with more than one employment. Steve has two jobs.
He works for a publishing company for 3 days a week, earning a weekly wage of £900. At weekends, he has another job, working for a bookmaker, for which he is paid £250 per week. You will note that his salary from his main job is £46,800 per annum, which exceeds the upper earnings limit. We start by calculating the Class 1 primary NICs paid by Steve. The earnings from the publishing company exceed the upper earnings limit. Class 1 NICs are therefore paid at 11% on earnings between the upper limit and the primary threshold. Earnings above £844 per week are charged at the additional rate of 1%. The salary from the bookmaker's job is not above the upper limit. Therefore, the NIC paid here is simply £250 less £110 at 11%.
The total Class 1 NIC paid by Steve in 2010-11 is therefore £5,028.40. Note that as Steve is not self-employed, he will not pay either Class 2 or Class 4 contributions.
Test 1 starts by taking the difference between the upper limit and the primary threshold and multiplying by 53. We then multiply this by 11% to give £4,279.22. In Step 3, we look at each employment separately and take the difference between earnings and the primary threshold, but making sure that earnings are capped at the upper earnings limit of £43,875. As earnings from the first job are above the upper limit, we cap at £43,875. Earnings from the second job are £13,000. So we simply deduct the primary threshold of £5,715. Adding these together gives £45,445. In step 4, we take the result of step 3 and deduct the result of step 1. This gives a positive figure of £6,543. A positive figure will only arise here if the taxpayer has more than one employment. In step 5, we take the result of step 4 and multiply by 1%. This gives us £65.43. Step 6 takes the excess of earnings from each employment above the upper earnings limit. Only Steve's earnings from his publishing job, i.e. £46,800, exceed the limit. So this step produces a result of £2,925. We multiply this by 1%. The final step is to add results together to give the annual maximum. The result of step 2 is £4,279.22. Step 5 gives us £65.43. Step 7 gives us £29.25. The Class 1 annual maximum for the year is therefore £4,373.90. We have already calculated the amount of Class 1 contributions paid by Steve on the previous page.
These are deducted from the annual maximum to give a Class 1 NIC refund for 2010-11 of £654.50. An employee who has contracted out of SERPs via an occupational pension scheme will only actually pay Class 1 primary NIC at a rate of 9.4% instead of at 11% between the limits. However, for the purposes of the annual maxima calculations, this individual is deemed to have paid NIC at a rate of 11% between the limits. It will therefore be necessary to calculate the notional Class 1 primary NICs that would have been paid by the employee had the contracted out election not been made. Moving on now to the second annual maxima test. Test 2 is an even more complex calculation to perform than Test 1. But Regulation 100 of the statutory instrument contains a step-by-step formula. Once again, rather than trying to remember the steps,
you should always look up the statutory instrument if you need to carry out the calculation. Test 2 will be carried out only if the taxpayer is both employed and self-employed, and is thereby paying NICs under Classes 1, 2 and 4. In the case of a taxpayer with earnings from two employments, but with no self-employed profits, only Test 1 need be performed. The annual maxima rules in Test 2 will result in a repayment of Class 4 contributions only. We shall now go through the various steps. First, we take the difference between the upper profit limit and the lower profit limit.
This will always come out to £38,160 for 2010-11.
In Step 2, we multiply the result of Step 1 by the main Class 4 rate of 8%. This will give us £3,052.80. Step 3 takes the result of Step 2 and adds 53 weeks of Class 2 contributions, i.e. £127.20. The result of Step 3 will therefore be £3,180. In Step 4, we start with the result from Step 3, i.e. £3,180. We then deduct any Class 1 primary contributions paid at the main rate of 11%. Here, we ignore any Class 1 NICs paid at the additional rate of 1%. We also deduct any Class 2 NICs paid. This will not always be £124.80. For example, it may have been adjusted to take account of any Class 2 refund made as a result of the application of Test 1. The result of Step 4 will either be a positive or a negative number. Depending on the figure produced by Step 4, there are three possible outcomes. The statutory instrument call these Case 1, Case 2 and Case 3. We will now look at the three cases, starting with Case 1. Case 1 applies when the result of Step 4 is positive. In this case, we need to compare the result of Step 4 with a comparative total, which is laid out in the statutory instrument. The comparative total starts by taking any Class 1 primary NICs paid by the taxpayer at the main rate of 11%. We add on any Class 2 NICs paid. We also add any Class 4 contributions paid at the main rate of 8%. We ignore any NICs paid at the additional rate of 1%. This gives the comparative total. If the result of Step 4 is greater than the comparative total, then Step 4 is the annual NIC maximum for the year. Any excess Class 4 NICs will therefore be refundable. Case 2 will apply if the result of Step 4 is less than the comparative total. In this instance, the figure given in Step 4 will be the maximum Class 4 NIC payable at the main rate of 8%. Additional NIC at the 1% rate will be due, and this will be calculated using rules shown on the next page. Case 3 will apply if the result of Step 4 is a negative. This will mean that the Class 4 NICs payable at the main rate of 8% will be zero. This does not, however, mean that all Class 4 NICs paid are now refundable, as Class 4 contributions could be due at the additional 1% rate. We shall illustrate this later. Having applied one of the three cases to the result of Step 4, we now move on to the further steps, being Steps 5 to 9. However, these final five steps need only be performed if either Cases 2 or 3 apply. If Case 1 has been applied, we stop after Case 1 and do not move through these final steps. Step 5 takes the result of Step 4 and multiplies by 100 over 8. If Step 4 is a negative number, we assume this to be nil. In Step 6, we start with the lower of either the actual trading profits or the upper profit limit.
From this, we deduct the lower profit limit of £5,715. Therefore, for 2010-11, the maximum result of Step 6 will be £38,160. This will be lower if profits are below the upper limit.
In Step 7, we take the result of Step 6. and deduct the result of step 5. Again, if this produces a negative number, we assume the result will be nil. Step 8 takes the result of step 7, if positive, and multiplies by 1%. Step 9 takes the excess of actual trading profits above the upper profit limit and multiplies by 1%. Having arrived at step 9, we can now calculate the annual Class 4 maximum. We add together the results of step 4, step 8, and step 9. This is the Class 4 annual maximum for the year. We deduct the Class 4 contributions actually paid, and the difference is the Class 4 refund due to the taxpayer. As you will see, this is an extremely convoluted procedure, but is relatively easy to follow if you refer to the statutory instrument. We will illustrate how Test 2 works by returning to the example of Alex. Alex has an employment from which he earns £663 per week. He also has a business which generates trading profits of £21,000. Alex will therefore have paid NICs under Classes 1, 2 and 4.
The Class 1 primary contributions paid in 2010-11 are £3,163.16.
Alex paid Class 2 NICs of £124.80. The Class 4 NIC paid is 8% of the profits in excess of the lower limit, being £1,222.80. Our requirement is to apply Test 2 to see if Alex is due a refund of some of the Class 4 contributions. Step 1 takes the upper profit limit and deducts the lower profit limit. This is multiplied by 8% to give £3,052.80. Step 3 adds the result of Step 2 with 53 weeks of Class 2 contributions to give £3,180. In Step 4, we take £3,180 and deduct the Class 1 primary contributions paid at the main rate of 11%. We also deduct the Class 2 NICs paid, and the result of Step 4 is a negative figure of £107.96. As the result of Step 4 is a negative, we apply the rules in Case 3 of the three alternatives, which says that in this case, no Class 4 NIC is payable at the main rate of 8%. However, as Case 3 applies, we must continue through Steps 5 to 9 to ascertain whether any NIC is due at the additional 1% rate. Step 5 takes the result of Step 4 and multiplies by 100 over 8. As Step 4 produced a negative figure, we assume this to be nil. Step 6 takes the lower of the actual trading profits or the Class 4 upper profits limit. Here, we take actual profits of £21,000. We deduct the lower limit to give £15,285. Step 7 takes the figure from Step 6 and deducts the figure from Step 5. As Step 5 is zero, Step 7 gives us £15,285. We multiply this by 1% to give £152.85. The final step in the process, Step 9, is not necessary here, as none of the trading profits exceed the upper profit limit. We have now completed all the steps to arrive at the Class 4 annual maximum. We add together the results of Step 4, Step 8, and Step 9. As Steps 4 and 9 produced nil results, the Class 4 annual maximum for the year is the figure from Step 8, i.e., £152.85. The actual Class 4 contributions paid in the year were £1,222.80. We therefore deduct these to give Class 4 NIC refundable to Alex of £1,069.95. There is a further example of how Test 2 works in the course notes provided, but we shall not go through it here for time reasons.